You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program, vegetable-free and on your AM dial here in Memphis, Tennessee, and in different ports of call around the world. We were talking about my diet during the extended commercial break we had between hours, and so I had to work that in. But anyway, welcome back to the show. Hey, listen, we're celebrating tonight. I'm going to be in a five-part documentary series that's going to air on national television in January. It's right, and I might not be the only one of the cast and crew of our network and show if things work out well. But it's going to be taped in September and air in January. It's a done deal. It's exciting news, folks. We're going to be reaching millions of people through this one venue. And I provided more extensive details at the very top of the show. So if you're tuning in late, catch that the top of the first hour in the broadcast archives. Mark Weber is going to be our guest a little later on this hour. He's the director of the Institute of Historical Review. He, too, has made the rounds on network cable news. I remember vividly one of his appearances with Hannity and Combs a few years back, back when Combs was still on Fox, I guess. But anyway, we're having a good time tonight, as we always do. Welcome to the show. God bless you. Thanks for your support. A lot of good stuff on the website this week, thepoliticalcesspool.org, our blog at the official internet headquarters. We've got one of Pat Buchanan's most recent columns, Do We Want Another Cold War? There also in that article, you'll find an audio clip of one of my interviews with Pat on this show. Just mentioned the 15-foot Confederate flag that's going to fly in Virginia on I-95. That's on there. Merlin Miller, film director, former presidential candidate for the American Third Position, he has a new video out during in which he discusses the unprovoked attack on the USS Liberty by the State of Israel during the Six-Day War. This was in the 60s. He was talking about this, but it happened on June 8th, and I believe it was 68. I can tell you right now, while I'm thinking about it, all I got to do is go to the article. My internet lags so bad here in the studio when we're on the air. I have no, it's just like sloth. It's like molasses. It will be the third hour, but it was, anyway, it was June 8th in the 60s at some point. But we actually interviewed three surviving members of the USS Liberty on June 8th, 2008, on the anniversary of the day that this occurred. Ron Kukol, Gary Brummett, and Phil Turney. They were three surviving members of Israel's attack on the USS Liberty, an act of war to be sure. Of course, we didn't go to war against Israel. We go to war for Israel, against nations that have never done anything to us. We don't go to war against the people that actually attack us and sink one of our ships. Well, it didn't actually sink, but they were able to pull it back in, but they murdered many American seamen. Well, we interviewed three of these men that survived it. It is one of the most prolific interviews we've ever conducted, and if you want to listen to it, it's still timely. June 8th, 2008. Go to that day in the broadcast archives. June 8th, 1967. I was a year off. Daylight and a dollar short. That's me, but I'm a year off in this case.
Well, I was about to correct you before Sam did that. Thank you, Sam. What we need to also remember about the USS Liberty debacle was that Lyndon Baines Johnson, race traitor Lyndon Baines Johnson, turncoat Southerner Lyndon Baines Johnson, actually asked none other than John McCain's father to head up the cover-up of the bombing by the State of Israel of the USS Liberty. And I guess being a rat fink runs in the family, James, because now we have his son being the primary race traitor in the Republican Party today. He's the one the liberals want to run as president against whatever far leftist Marxist apparatchik that they run, like Barack Obama, for example. But his father, John McCain, whatever number it was put in charge of covering up the USS Liberty situation, and he drug that boat around the Mediterranean hoping that it would sink. And when it sank, all the evidence would be at the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea. Unfortunately for McCain, it didn't sink, but the liberal control of the media was so complete then as it is now that it was years before this really came out as to what had happened at the regarding the bombing of the USS Liberty. This shows you that Israel is not an ally of the United States. They use the United States, they use Jewish power and influence in America to control American foreign policy in particular, to help the state of Israel, and for domestic policy, they're on board for every liberal innovation that anyone could ever think of, from the civil rights movement to homosexual marriage. They're always in the vanguard. This is the effect of Jewish power and influence on American foreign policy and domestic policy. It's a baneful influence. It is the influence of liberalism. It is evil. We have a saying here at the Political Cesspool: liberalism is the modern face of evil. And it is. And if it is, who's responsible for modern liberalism? Jewish power and influence. Primarily, first and foremost.
And of course, as everyone will know, Israel didn't attack the USS Liberty to get engaged in a war against the United States. It was a false flag operation. They wanted America to go into war against Egypt, their enemy du jour of that time in the Six-Day War. They wanted people to believe that Egypt had launched that attack on the Liberty. The unfortunate thing for Israel was that they were unable to sink the Liberty, and they left survivors who could tell that those were Israeli fighter planes. And Phil Turney continues to speak out on this, as do other surviving crewmen. And this was folks, it was one of our biggest shows ever. And I bring it up again because Merlin Miller, again, a friend of ours, just put a new video up on YouTube about it. But June 8th, 2008, go into the broadcast archives at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Listen to it for yourselves. I think we had them on for a full hour. You're not going to see a story like this on the History Channel. Now, if you're looking for, you know, shows about lumberjacks or Bigfoot sightings or UFO chasing, you know, the History Channel's got you covered. But for a story like this, we're not the only place you can get it, but we're one of the few. And we were happy to have that. Hey, another story on the blog this week. Memphis bank robber. This was actually a couple of weeks ago. This is a story only in Memphis. This is a black fella went in and robbed a bank, then got caught, had a shootout with police before he took his own life. But when he was robbing the bank, he said George Zimmerman made him do it. Or you can thank George Zimmerman for this. It's just, you know, more peace, love, and understanding from the usual suspects, Keith.
Yeah, there's always an excuse, and the excuse is always racism for every variety and permutation of black misbehavior, criminal behavior, dysfunction, you name it. The devil made me do it, as Flip Wilson, the black comedian of the late 60s, said, and the devil is always a white devil.
And with that being said, we're going to take our first break of this hour. We got one more segment of news, and then we're going to get to Mark Weber. Big interview tonight. Stay tuned.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0-degree sleeping bag. This comfortable, family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Searching, searching, every night and day.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
In a little cafe, just the other side of the border,
everybody. Welcome back to the show. A little bit of Jay and the Americans there. Jay Black, a.k.a. David Blatt. What a voice. Number one hit from 1964. Played that for a reason. Actually, two reasons. Number one, I know Art Fritz listening out there. Art Fritz, I said the USS Liberty was bombed in 1968. Within 3 seconds, I had Sam, Keith, and Art correcting me via email. 1967, baby boy, 1967. Well, since I know Art's listening, I wanted to play that song again for two reasons. Number one, I'm going to get into a little immigration story, and since Come a Little Bit Closer has a little Mexican tinge to it, I thought it would be appropriate music. But Art, I would like, if I could request this, I would like for you to make three alternate bumps, intros, outros. I want Come a Little Bit Closer, please. No voiceovers on the outros, as is our new custom. Please write this down, Chief. I'm counting on you up there. I know you're retired, but you still do the production work for the show. Come a Little Bit Closer, Secret Agent Man by Johnny Rivers. That's kind of fitting. That's what we are. And what else would I like? Well, I had another one in mind, but I can't think of it. We'll just go with those two. Well, Keith, do you want to make a request?
Devoted to You.
By the Everly Brothers. Now, why that one? That shows the white attitude towards love and romance from perfectly, Keith says. Okay. All right, I'm sold. I'm done. You sold me. Devoted to You by the Everly Brothers, Chief. Come a Little Bit Closer, Jay and the Americans, and Secret Agent Man by Johnny Rivers, if you would, sir. Now, I played that because I wanted Art Ass to do me a favor. And number two, because we are getting into an immigration story now, and again, that song makes me think of illegal aliens, I guess. I guess anytime I think of our friends from the southern border or beyond the southern border, I think of illegal aliens. Now, let me tell you how Russia deals with them, folks. And this was another story on our blog. They have illegal aliens in Russia, too. They deal with them a little bit differently than our co-opted country. And Russia could show us the way here. Here's a story out of the motherland. Forced to march in a human chain and lined up with hands behind their heads. This is how to round up illegal aliens Russian style. Moscow police launched a no-nonsense crackdown on suspected illegals working on stalls in a market. Officers prodded suspects with batons and pinned them against police vans as the searches were carried out. Others were forced to keep their arms in the air while police looked for documents, or a lack thereof. The suspects were then frog-marched onto a police bus with their hands on their shoulders of the person in front of them and driven away to face rapid expulsion from the country. Folks, that shows you that it can be done. If you want to enforce your laws, it can be done. Russia's showing us the way. What one man can do, another can do. If they can do it, we can do it. Why aren't we doing it, Keith?
We're not doing it because Russia has the great good fortune of being led by a Christian nationalist who actually loves the founding stock of his nation, white Russians or Ruthenians, as they're called, and Ukrainians. That these type of people are the people that make up the racial stock of most of Russia, and they, surprise, surprise, in this day of globalist elites, actually have a Christian nationalist, Vladimir Putin, in charge of the nation, and he actually likes the people that have elected him to office and who he, is the, primary executive of. Now, America, on the other hand, good old, God bless the USA of Lee, what's his name?
Lee Greenwood.
Lee Greenwood fame, is run by a cultural Marxist who is, above all things, opposed to the interests of the founding stock of America, white Protestants and Gentiles. And as a result, he does everything he can to make sure that our immigration laws aren't enforced. Vladimir Putin, with no fanfare, enforces the laws that are on the books. If we actually had a president who would enforce the laws that are on the books regarding immigration, we wouldn't have a problem in America. We act like we have a big problem because we have a group of traitorous elites sold out to a globalist vision. Globalists don't want to enforce national boundaries because they think the national boundaries are outmoded. They think that all people should be able to transfer themselves from one end of the world to the next as they choose. And that is the big problem, James.
Well, Keith, we're going to get to our featured guest of the night in the next segment. But before we go to that commercial break, we have a female caller on the line from Alabama. And you know we got to stop talking when a female calls in. TLR from Alabama, if I understand correctly. Hello, how are you?
Fine. I just found you on the internet. I'm a Southerner. And I would like to say that Abraham Lincoln did not like black people. He hated their guts. And he did the Emancipation Proclamation because he wanted a popularity thing.
Well, actually, look, TLR, this is Keith Alexander. You're absolutely right that Abraham Lincoln, there is abundant evidence that he was no fan of black people. But the real reason he made the Emancipation Proclamation was he wanted to foment a slave rebellion behind Confederate lines that would divert Confederate troops from the front lines fighting the Union Army to quelling a rebellion behind their own lines. It's really surprising to the people don't know that the Emancipation Proclamation only emancipated black people that were beyond the control of the Union Army, people behind Confederate lines. There were slaves in border states like Kentucky, Maryland, Missouri that were not affected. There were blacks, slaves in places like Tennessee that had been conquered by the time that the Emancipation Proclamation came out. and those people were unaffected by the Emancipation Proclamation. It was a stratagem that he dreamt up to try to defeat the Confederacy, and he wanted to defeat the Confederacy because he wanted a large, prosperous nation, and he didn't want the South to split off the wealth associated with the South from the United States of America, despite the fact that he and many others since him basically hate the South and want to use us as a dominated subject people. That's why our ancestors really wanted secession, not to defend slavery.
Yes, sir. And another thing I'd like to say, that everybody thinks Frederick Douglass's real name was Frederick Douglass, but his real name was George Washington Bailey.
Ha! Huh.
That's a good catch.
A good catch. And I'll tell you, I appreciate you calling in. Are you a new listener?
Yes.
Well, welcome to the show. We'll hope you'll stick around. And I'll tell you what, we certainly believe you are a Southerner after hearing that beautiful accent. And we're about to go to a break. Keith, a final word.
I just wanted to tell you, if you really want to know the true causes of the Civil War and what went on, I can't recommend anything better for you than Mike Scruggs's pulp publication, The Uncivil War. Look it up on the internet. It's $7.95, the best $8 you'll ever spend, and it will give you all the ammunition you need to blow the liberal claptrap about the Civil War out of the water. Thanks for listening.
We'll be back with Mark Weber right after this.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, The Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, folks, to what I believe will be undoubtedly the main event of tonight's live broadcast. I welcome back to the show a good friend of mine and a man who has done good work for a lifetime. He is Mark Weber, a historian, author, lecturer, and current affairs analyst who has made the rounds as a guest on cable news programming. He's also the director of the Institute for Historical Review, which of course is an independent research and publishing center based in Southern California. Mark was born and raised in Portland, Oregon. He studied history at the University of Illinois in Chicago, the University of Munich in Germany, and at Portland State University, as well as Indiana University, where he served as a history instructor and earned a master's degree in European history. Mark Weber, welcome back to the Political Cesspool.
Thank you very much, James, for having me on and for that generous and kind introduction.
Well, it wasn't generous enough. I'm a huge fan of your work, and it's great to have you back on tonight. I think the last time you appeared with us, and it's I'm embarrassed to know this or to recall this, I think it was 2008. You were on the same show as Pat Buchanan when he appeared to promote his book Churchill, Hitler, and the Unnecessary War. So it's good to have you back, and let's make sure we don't go that long again in between appearances. Mark, you wrote an article just a couple of weeks ago about, I guess you would call it a commentary or a statement that Joe Biden gave earlier this year. And I'm going to read just a paragraph or two excerpt, and then we'll get into it. This is what you say in your report. In a remarkable but underreported address, Vice President Joe Biden recently acknowledged that the immense and outsized Jewish role in the U.S. mass media and cultural life has been the single most important factor in shaping American attitudes over the past century and in driving major cultural political changes. Joe Biden was quoted as saying that Jewish heritage has shaped who we are, all of us, as much or more than any other factor in the last 223 years, and that's a fact. And that, of course, is what Joe Biden, Mark, told a gathering of Jewish leaders on May 21st of this year in Washington, D.C., and this is really the exclamation point on what Biden had to say, and you document this. Think, behind all of that, I bet you 85% of the socio-political changes, whether it's in Hollywood or social media, are a consequence of Jewish leaders in the industry. The influence that they have is immense, and I might add, it's all for the good. Mark, right. You and I get called anti-Semites when we point out such truthful truthful facts, right?
One Jewish commentator was disturbed, not because he disagreed with the accuracy of what Biden said, but because he's embarrassed when these statements are made so forthrightly and so obviously, in a way that the non-Jewish public will hear this and know this and draw some uncomfortable conclusions about this. He was particularly, this one Jewish writer, Jonathan Chait, who's a very prominent Jewish writer, he was especially disturbed because although Americans have accepted many of the changes that Biden talks about, millions of Americans are still not quite comfortable with the latest breakthrough, and that is the fight for gay rights or homosexual rights, which Biden says the Jewish leaders of the mass media have made possible this change to take place. But yeah, that's right. It's considered a sign of anti-Semitism if a non-Jew says in a non-flattering way that Jews have immense, and as to use Biden's words, immense and outsized influence and control of our media. But if Biden says that it's all to the good to a purely Jewish audience, which was, as I said, underreported, that's okay, although it's disturbing.
There's obviously a disconnect here, and you've hit on a couple of it. Joe Biden says I agree with Joe Biden. Obviously, you do, too. He might have been conservative in his estimate that 85% of the socio-political changes that America has endured over the course of the last X number of years as a result of Jewish power and influence. There is no doubt. Now, he says this in a flattering way. He says it because he agrees in the radical changes, the changes that have caused America to drift away from its traditional viewpoints on certain issues into this morass that even George Orwell would have a hard time believing.
Right.
He says it affectionately. We say it from a position of objective criticism, and again, it's anti-Semitic. Mark, you touched on that earlier, but it does deserve, I think, elaboration, and you go into some of this in your excellent article. It's going to appear at our website later in the week. People can get it now at ihr.org, but you know, this is stuff, of course, Mark, and this is something that you're well-versed in, so you know, and our audience knows, but these are claims that Jews celebrate in their own publications. Joel Stein, an article that he's written that's been talked about numerous times on this show, comes to mind, and even some articles in entertainment publications that lament the fact that many Americans now believe that Jews don't control Hollywood, for example. This is stuff that they celebrate in their own publications, but again, if we agree with them in their assessment that they control these institutions, but we objectively criticize the influence that they bring, again, we're anti-Semites.
Right. I think one of the most important aspects of all of this is just how immensely hypocritical all of this is. In our country, we have a whole lot of laws and regulations in place to ensure what's called affirmative action, so that one group supposedly doesn't have disproportionate power and influence in our society. But that rule, and which is enshrined in all sorts of laws and regulations, not only in our government but even in private industry, is tossed aside when it comes to one group. There's just I think it's an unhealthy thing in a society if Methodists or Swedish Americans or Italian Americans had enormously disproportionate power and influence. That would be unhealthy in any society. But to permit a society to permit a group that makes up no more than 2% of the population to have this enormously outsized disproportionate power is not only unhealthy, it's a violation, a betrayal of the very principle supposedly of fairness and of affirmative action, which these same politicians are constantly yapping and complaining about.
Very well put. And again, folks, if you don't take James Edwards' word or Mark Weber's word even about the disproportionate amount of power and influence that this one group has, this tiny minority has. Read what they say about it in some examples we just listed, or just listen to the vice president who mentioned this as well. Mark, again, I want to direct people to your website for many reasons, not the least of which being that they can catch this article, and it's entitled "The Immense Jewish Role in American Mass Media and Cultural Life," written by you at ihr.org. Let's talk about some of the other elements of the story that you delve into in the body of that piece.
Okay. You know, one thing I might point out, too, is it shows, again, how much more powerful the mass media is in shaping people's policies, actions, behavior than our churches. Biden is nominally a Roman Catholic. He calls himself a Roman Catholic.
Right.
But he takes his marching orders not from his church, but from those who control the mass media. That is, he takes his ideas about what the role of homosexuality should be in society not from his own religion, but from this small minority, as he says, that has this grip on our society. That's a very, very astonishing thing and should underscore just how immensely important the mass media is in shaping attitudes and behaviors, much more so than the churches. On issue after issue, the major churches in America have capitulated to the trends that are set by those who control the mass media. And also, I think it underscores just how lacking in principle not only Biden, but American politicians generally are. Basically, they don't really care what their own beliefs are. Maybe they don't even have any. They just want to get reelected. They want to hold on to power, and they hold on to that by going along with, as Biden practically admits, as you can read from what he says, by those who set the tone, set the agenda in their control of the mass media. That just underscores the corruption of our entire political system and the importance of cultural control in a society, the importance of culture in society.
Mark, comment on the juvenile state of public discourse. Apparently, Americans aren't mature enough to be able to have a conversation about these issues and whether or not it's good or bad for the health of our society and our country. Because to even admit that such power and control exists will get you shouted down with any number of unflattering adjectives.
Right. Well, as you well know, James, from your life and your experiences and those of many whom we know, those who stray outside of permissible discussion are just smeared and marginalized and shut up in our society.
Well, Mark, I want to ask you to hold up right there. We're going to take a commercial break. We've got one more segment with you on the flip side, and we're going to continue on this thread when we come back. Stay tuned, everybody.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Ladies and gentlemen of our Liberty Roundtable audience, we invite you to consider joining us. We use the services of George Costello and Utah Document Solutions. They are your authorized Xerox sales agent. We've been experiencing great service, pricing, and results, and we've gotten to know George and his team at Utah Document Solutions, your authorized Xerox sales agent. We were facing a huge increase from our former supplier, and we've been pleased to enjoy great service and an even lower cost of our documents. We recommend that you check with George to see if he can save you money like he has for us. Call George at 801-216-4816. He is your authorized Xerox sales agent. That number again, 801-216-4816.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Show, call us on James's dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool. James Edwards here in our flagship studio in Memphis, Tennessee. Mark Weber, our featured guest tonight, the director for the Institute of Historical Review. Mark, we were talking about before that last break, of course, the fact that you cannot have an adult conversation, a civil discourse, over matters pertaining to this issue of Jewish power and influence. If you effusively praise them, as Biden did, even that's frowned upon. Apparently only they are allowed to admit their enormous and disproportionate amount of power in their own organizations and in their own publications. But of course, if we mention it, it's a shout down to the highest degree. How do we change that, or can it be changed?
Well, I think that under the given situation right now, it's very difficult to see how within the political system that can be changed, because this power is so great, as Biden points out, that the politicians of both parties, the Democratic and Republican Party, are completely beholden to it. Every 4 years, those who are running for president debase themselves by making pilgrimages to Israel,
right,
speaking to major Jewish organizations to plead for money, insisting how much they're more supportive of Israel and Jewish interests than the next candidate.
Yes.
It's absolutely shameful. They have more concern for their getting elected and for these Jewish interests than they do for the people they're supposedly representing. And given how corrupt, therefore, the American political system is, and how much the cultural life of America has been taken over and subverted and dominated by this small minority with its own agenda, to me, I think the main task and the only really realistic task at this point has to be educational work. Political work is going to be too much of an uphill battle given the realities in America today, I think.
Well, you know, as you know, Mark, and the controlled media, the establishment press, would never allow this to be publicized, but it's not just a handful of us who understand that this exists and that this is a problem for, you know, and listen, if you're a radical liberal, if you're a Marxist, then you, like Biden, obviously, then you applaud the fact that they've been able to wield so much power for this political ideology and this ethos.
Well, I would slightly modify that. I think anybody who has any real principles, whether they're liberal or conservative, should be out and is outraged by this. If you're an honest liberal, you should be outraged that a small group has this kind of outsized, disproportionate power, one of the results of which is to support oppression and right, needless wars in foreign countries. That's something that liberals, if they're really honest, would oppose.
Well, honest liberals, and there are a few of them, they do exist, then yes, you're right.
There are a few, and there are a few honest conservatives, too, but most conservatives go along with this same corruption of our political system.
You know,
in other words, the number of people in any society who really have real principles, who care about these larger issues and have the time or intelligence to think about them, is always a minority. That's always been true throughout the ages. And therefore, I think that's the only real percentage of portion of the population that we really can reach effectively at this point, because we're not able to compete with the immense power and influence of those who control the mass media in reaching the mass of people.
But that's not to say, again, as the point I was making, that there's only a handful of people sparsely spread across the country that have knowledge about this. It's just a matter of getting them in a position to do something about it. And again, we're talking about objectively and legally and all of that. But
right,
you mentioned something.
I am very encouraged, though, James, that over the last 10, 15 years, I think there's far more awareness, especially among many younger people,
right,
of this whole overall picture than was the case when I was your age or younger. I mean, it was very difficult to sort of piece together all of this when I was in my 20s or 30s. But the internet and the decaying political cultural situation in America has made many, many more younger people aware that something is very, very wrong with this system and the direction of this country.
Well, Mark, you're exactly right. And again, I'm glad to hear you say that. But one thing you mentioned a second ago, and I wanted to just belabor the point. You were talking about the presidential candidates that literally, and you used a great word to describe it, they debased themselves in subservience to Israel. I was watching a Republican forum. It wasn't a Republican debate, but it was a forum where all of the major contenders, Romney and the others, Gingrich and those. Ron Paul wasn't there, but everybody else that was in the early runnings for the presidential primary for the Republican Party in the last go-around was there. And it was almost like we posted this on our website. I wish I could find it and we could play it right now. It was almost like a Saturday Night parody. Each one of them got up one after the other and tried to outdo what the previous contender said with regards to their worshipful praise of Israel. completely unprompted. Really. That's what they. That's the first thing they wanted to get out there. It was sick. I want to read an excerpt again from your magnificent piece. The Jewish people, and you're going back to Biden here, the Jewish people have contributed greatly to America. And he knew, he was speaking to the crowd, and he was laying it on thick here at this venue earlier this year. The Jewish people have contributed greatly to America, the vice president said. No group has had such an outsized influence per capita. More specifically, he cited the Jewish role in shaping popular opinions and setting policies on race relations, the role of women in society, gay rights, etc. You can't talk about the civil rights movement, he said, in this country without talking about the Jewish freedom riders and Jack Greenberg. You can't talk about the women's movement without talking about Betty Friedan. He went on to almost repeat himself. I believe what the effects of the social political movements in America, what affects our attitudes in America, are as much the culture and the arts as anything else. It wasn't anything we politicians legislatively did. It was such television shows as Will and Grace. It was the social media, literally. That's what changed people's attitudes. And he goes on, just more lavish praise. Basically, everything that's been destructive to this country, he applauds the Jews for having a role in. And not all Jews, of course, but it was Jews in positions of power and influence in the American institutions of academia and entertainment and government that influenced most of these changes. For some Jews, and this is what, going back to your statement now, Mark, for some Jews, the vice president's bold statements were actually worrisome. One prominent Jewish journalist wrote that, however gratifying Biden's very philo-Semitic remarks might be, such an open acknowledgement of Jewish influence is wandering into highly uncomfortable terrain. Why are they worried, Mark?
They don't want the non-Jews, the goyim, the Gentiles, to figure out what's going on. That's what they want. That's what they're afraid of. Yeah.
Well, and again, depending on what side of the fence you're on, Biden or ours, or maybe in between, you could have an either favorable view of this power and influence, or one that, again, as I like to term it, objectively critical. But you should be able, you should be allowed, as adults, as mature individuals of a first world nation, to discuss these things. You can't even discuss it. And he went on, of course, to mention the fact that, you know, the Supreme Court, 3 out of the 9 are Jewish. You know, this is something that needs to be discussed. And this is what we're doing. This is why we had you on the show tonight. This is why you do your work at the Institute for Historical Review. This is why you wrote the article. And this is why I wanted to have you on. Even though, you know, Biden's remarks were a couple of months ago, your article's relatively new. It's provocative. I'm an adult. You're an adult. Our listeners are adults. They might not agree with us on this, although I believe almost all of them will. But it should be discussed, right?
Well, not only, yeah, should it be discussed. I wrote the article because I was saddened to see how little attention these remarks got, and yet the implications of the importance of these remarks affects all of us and should be better known. And it has to be. These questions of our whole future as a nation, these major social political changes are affect all of us, and more than us, it affects our children and our grandchildren, our whole future as a country. To ignore a factor this important is to stick one's head in the sand, really. And it's not only can and ought to be discussed, it must be discussed. If a country or a people is to have any sense of responsibility for its future, it must be discussed. It has to be. These facts need to be better known. I get a little unhappy sometimes when people are angry at the symptoms of this kind of control without being concerned about the source of this malaise.
Well, you see it every day in church. People complaining about homosexual marriage, people complaining about the war on Christmas, so on and so forth. I'm concerned about those things too, but why can't we identify the source of most of this distress?
Right. And fighting the symptoms and not the cause of an illness is essentially a waste of time. And that's the permissible discourse that's allowed in our society really getting to the root. And that's really why shows like yours and the work you're doing, and I think the work that we're doing, is not just good or desirable, it's essential if we're to have any future with any kind of honor, any kind of order, any kind of prosperity, any kind of society worth living in.
Well, Mark, you've been on the front lines for a lot longer than me, my friend, and I applaud you for your work and encourage everyone listening tonight to support it at IHR.org, Institute for Historical Review. The director of that fine organization, Mark Weber, has been our guest tonight. Mark, it's been entirely our pleasure.
Thank you very much for having me on again, James. It's a pleasure for me as well. I applaud what you're doing.
Well, thank you, and we look forward to doing it again soon. Have a great rest of the evening. Enjoy your weekend. Folks, with that being said, the second hour is rapidly coming to an end. In fact, there's our song. They're playing our song. We'll be back with the third and final right after this. Don't go anywhere. The Political Cesspool continues tonight.
Another hour of the Political Cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.